Aha, there you are. I've been waiting for you to turn up. And look, I tidied away the bottles. Well, I've shoved them round the corner to be honest, but anyway, come on in then. We've got lots to talk about. This is officially our fourth date, isn't it? Well, not date, but you know what I mean. I'm just excited to see you. I hope your week's been better than mine, though. I've just been mooching around in here, to be honest. Opening that door is probably the first crack of daylight I've seen in a week. I'm surprised I didn't turn to dust. Catrick's barely left my side, bless her. She can tell when I'm a bit under the weather. I've just had a bit of a cold, you see, which is not ideal in my line of work. Not ideal at all. But I'm on the other side of it now. And taking it easy meant I had plenty of time to have a good rummage around and find something special to share with you this week. And I found just the thing. A real potent scent. Vivid memory. It blew the cobwebs right off my nostrils anyway. Now I don't think I've ever asked you, have I? But if you play an instrument, this one might stir a little something inside you. It's from an exceptional young man called Chris Berrow. Chris is a musician and broadcaster, and the scent that Chris chose to bottle is the smell of his guitar. In particular, his very first guitar. If, like me, you've never really smelt one, don't worry, it'll all make sense in a minute. Here, have a whiff of this.
As you bring it out of the case and hold it in your hands for the first time, there's just something hugely overpowering that comes out of that case straight away. And it's a mixture of smells. I suppose it's a combination of woodiness from the guitar itself. The metal from the strings actually brings something to the party as well, but there's like a lacquer, varnishy kind of smell. It's a bit like an old book, actually. If you've ever opened up a really old dusty book, and there's that kind of musty kind of smell. Glue smell from the binding. It feels like you're opening up a piece of history. Something that's been around for a long time, even though it's brand new. It's a bit of a dichotomy in that sense. You've got something that's brand new that you've been waiting for, and yet it's got this kind of old, historic, hugely overwhelming smell that comes alongside with it. My parents are violinists, so it's something that I've done from the age of three. For all of my kind of waking life. And for years and years, I didn't really listen to the radio, to be honest with you, because on the way to school, we listened to these Suzuki violin tapes, because that would help us with our musical education. It was a particularly memory-based way that we learnt music as kids, and that was actually my mum's method. That's how she taught her own pupils, and that's how she taught us. Later on in life, I did start to branch out in my musical tastes. And one day on the radio, I heard Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. Now, for someone who had been raised on classical music for my whole life, that was a shot out of the blue. It was a totally different genre of music. I'd never heard anything like that. And all I remember thinking, I think this was about the age of 14, I thought, I want to make that sound somehow. So I looked up this song online and I saw this guy called Slash playing this awesome instrument that was made out of wood, and it had 6 metallic strings instead of 4 on the old violins. Only got 4, but this had 6. And he didn't just play the strings, he bent the strings. And he didn't have a great big long bow and holding it up all properly. He had it strung low, you know, he had a little pick. I found out it was called a plectrum. I thought, well, I want to get one of them as well, but I need this instrument. I asked my parents for years and years, please, can I just, I'll do as much violin practice as you want me to do. Please, can I have a guitar? And they said, oh, no, it's going to get in the way of your classical education. Fair enough, you know, they lived and breathed classical music. That's fine. But secretly, I was saving my pocket money for years and years. And I started off with £5, £10. I thought, oh, I must be getting close here. So when I was about £10 into my savings, I found online that if I wanted Slash's guitar, I was looking at more like £10,000. That wasn't really within my budget. But I did find that you could get a very basic guitar that looked exactly the same, a cheaper version of what he was playing. And it was more like £200. So to me, I thought, right, I'm going to really save my money here. And I would say after about 6 years, the day finally came where I could actually go to the shop. And I saw it there, and I thought, finally, today is the day. I took my money over. He said, right, we'll send that to your house, and it'll be there in 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks waiting for that guitar to come was like waiting another 6 years. I didn't really know what to do to contain myself, to be honest with you. And that takes me to that moment where the door rang and it was the most huge cardboard box that you've ever seen. It's probably about as big as me. It was massive. I was so excited. It was unbelievable. So I got the box. I very carefully, almost like it was some kind of religious artifact there in front of me. I didn't want to break it because I knew it was going to be so beautiful, but at the same time, I couldn't wait to tear open the packaging. So I unwrapped the box in the most careful way that I've ever done. It wasn't like a kid opening their present at Christmas and tearing off all the wrapping. The box came off and then you saw this amazing leathery kind of, like a leather guitar case that you flicked open the brass clasps on it. So you flick them open and you open it up, and that's when the smell just hits you straight in the face. Wood is the first thing that you smell. The second thing is probably, I didn't know what it was at the time, but lacquer. So the finish on the guitar. I was so happy because it looked exactly like the one that Slash had played that I'd seen in this video that I'd watched of him online. So to then hold it in your hands and to feel it and to smell it and to finally go, this is my instrument now. It's a bit like in The Lion King where he holds up the child to the sky and everyone goes, ah, Simbenga, like that. That's how I felt like with this guitar. I felt like I should hold it up to the sky and go, I have done it. I know that sounds strange, but it really was that kind of big of a deal for me. It was years of longing, years of desire, but years of also planning and saving and almost scheming silently in the back room, you know. Don't tell anybody, but this is what I really want. I really want the electric guitar, but don't say anything. I did, of course, immediately try and play the main riff from Sweet Child of Mine, and it turns out it's really difficult. So I could have picked something a bit easier. You know, a lot of people like to pick Oasis and Wonderwall, which is surprisingly fine to play. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go in the deep end. But I can tell you this now. This is a fact. If you practice something for 6 months every day, eventually you'll be able to play it. If I catch a whiff of that original smell, which still stays on the instrument now, I suppose it gives me a sense of achievement. I still feel like, yes, you have done it. You're sitting down now after a long day playing your instrument, you know, your instrument. No one's given this to you. Unlike the violin, where normally, traditionally, it's kind of passed down through the family because they tend to be quite expensive pieces of kit. This was mine for myself. So when I catch that smell, I feel a huge amount of satisfaction every time, because without my own effort, that wouldn't be there, and I wouldn't be able to then sit and play it every day.
What a sense of achievement indeed. Such an incredible amount of drive and determination that Chris has. I mean, let's not forget there's clearly streams of talent in there too, but not without effort. And that's why it's his passion that really stood out to me in that story. I want to thank Chris for sharing that memory, because it truly gave me pause for thought. I've never been musically talented, much to my dismay. But I do wonder if some of that lack of talent is in fact due to a lack of true passion, like Chris so clearly had for the electric guitar. Was I ever as passionate about playing music as he was? After hearing that, I doubt it. It got me thinking. Even back in recorder class at primary school, I'd sit and I'd hum along to Peas Pudding Hot, waggling my fingers about in an attempt to trick my teacher into thinking I could play. Unsuccessfully, I might add. I'm pretty sure that was me out of recorder class when she cottoned on. And I'd always dreamt of playing the drums, from a very, very young age. That was long a dream of mine. But somehow, from primary school through to secondary school, I ended up playing the oboe. Hey, I can see you smirking. That's not a euphemism. But I do think it's the reason I haven't got much of a top lip to speak of, I will say that. And I say somehow ended up playing the oboe. I know exactly how I ended up playing it. It was because the music man, I think he was called, visited our school and showed us all these different instruments in a bid to engage our young minds in music. And when it got to the oboe part, he asked us to do a handspan test to see if our hands were big enough. Well, let me tell you, I flopped mine out like the tango man. And I've honestly never been so proud that I was one of the very few that had the handspan to handle it. So that was it. I just started learning the oboe. But the novelty wore off after a few years. Bit like my top lip. I did finally get my own drum kit when I was around 20 though. I got my first big bonus at work and I knew exactly what I wanted to spend it on. My very own drum kit. I was absolutely delighted with it. Over the moon, I can't even begin to tell you. I studied, had lessons. I polished them endlessly. but I could never really play them properly. And soon enough, they became a very elaborate clothes horse in the corner of my room. Shiny though. But Chris, he didn't give up like I did. It's just like he said. If you practice anything every day for long enough, you'll be able to do it. Play it. You'll get there. Impressive handspan or not. So keep going. If you truly want something, whatever it is, keep working at it, I say. Yeah, keep going. Well, that's enough of trawling through my regrets for one day. We've got drums to polish, haven't we, Catrick? I'm joking. I got rid of them years ago. Chucked them out with all my other broken dreams. You'll come back and see us again next week, won't you? And don't forget to have a little think about what scent conjures up the magic elixir of memory for you. Because I'd love to hear it. As you know, there's plenty of room on the shelves yet. Tell your friends. Tell your friends and tell your family too. Write to me at theolfactorypod@gmail.com if you've got a story you'd like to share with me. And Catrick and I will get back to you as soon as we can. Go on, and I'll see you next time. Smell you later. Thank you.